Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 John, back toward the back of your Bible, 1 John. We're going to read a few verses from chapter 2 and then move over to chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. "The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, I am the father, the happy father of 7 children. And every single one of them is a blessing. I am extremely grateful that God has blessed me with 7 wonderful children. Every one of them, a gift from God. Fathers have some responsibilities in terms of feeding and clothing and educating and doing yard work and all kinds of stuff. But the greatest responsibility that a father has is to lovingly point his children to Jesus. To introduce his children to the one who perfectly reveals our Heavenly Father. If you want to know what God the Father is like, look at his Son. That's where you see the Father perfectly. In the person of Jesus Christ, God has revealed himself, and he is the exact representation of the Father's glory. That's what the Word says. He is the exact representation. He's not kind of like or pretty good imitation. My son Stephen, when he first came to the U.S., now he now doesn't look like me as much because he's developed muscles, but when he first came to the U.S., people who had no idea that he was new to our family would say, just based on seeing the two of us together, "Wow, I've never seen a son who looks so much like his father." And this was very entertaining to Stephen and to me as well. Because you see, God put us together from opposite sides of the world. But God knew before the creation of the world that he was going to be my son. And God put us together. Now, Jesus doesn't just kind of look like the Father. He looks exactly like the Father. His gracious, compassionate, patient, holy life shows us what the Father is like and shows us the Father's attitude toward us. I want to suggest to you this morning just three. There's a lot we could say about the Father's love, but I want to suggest to you just three essential characteristics of the Father's love that we need to know, and then that we need to allow to flow through us. First of all, our Father's love is eternal. It is eternal. It has always been. He loved us before the creation of the world. He loved us from eternity past. But God has not only always loved us, He didn't start loving you when you started going to VBS. He didn't start loving you when you enrolled in Sunday school or when you achieved a month of perfect attendance. He didn't start loving you when you gave your life to Christ. The reason He sent Jesus is because He loved you. He's always loved us. His love is eternal from eternity past. His love is also eternal in terms of how it lasts. It is eternal. He doesn't let us go. No one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. We are secure in Christ. If we are in Christ, we are secure. Now, we're not universalists. We do not believe that everybody's going to go to heaven because God is just loving. He can't stand to send anyone to hell, and so everybody's just going to get in, you know. No. There are a lot of people today who call themselves evangelicals who are preaching that lie that is straight out of the pit of hell. But the fact of the matter is, people who preach universalism are calling Jesus a liar. Because Jesus said that many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And He says, and I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Jesus warns that there will be many who to their amazement will be sent to everlasting destruction, outer darkness, a punishment that was prepared for the devil and his angels. That is tragic, but that is truth. And if we fail to recognize that and we fail to proclaim that truth, we are not being loving, we are being liars. Hell is real. Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. And He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
You and I need to understand that in Christ we are loved and we are secure. In Christ, God has always loved us, and in Christ, God will always love us. In Christ, we are eternally secure. Praise God for that. But there's a closely associated truth with that, that is essential if you're going to understand that first truth. The fact that God's love is eternal is tied to the fact that God's love is unconditional. There's another way of saying that, and that is it's undeserved. Stuart Smalley, the character from Saturday Night Live many years ago, who's now a character serving in the U.S. Senate, Stuart Smalley's character used to say, "I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me." It was self-motivating talk that he would give himself, his daily affirmations to try and make himself feel better about himself. And tragically, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in a whole lot of churches and ministries and books that basically is just Stuart Smalley with a Bible in hand. Basically, we try and tell ourselves that, well, now you need to feel good about yourself because God certainly feels good about you. I want everybody to turn to somebody next to him and say, "You're beautiful." I just want you to know, every one of you, you're unique. You are unique, just like everybody else. Sort of cheapens it, doesn't it? Well, I mean, it's true. We are all unique, but that won't get you into heaven. If you and I got what we deserved, we would all go to hell, every last one of us. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That means you're all eligible, at least on that count. If you think that your sin is too great to let you go to heaven, you don't know about the cross. Jesus died to save sinners. He came because there was no way that we could be good enough and save ourselves. And that's why it's so vital to understand that God's love, the Father's love, is unconditional. It is undeserved. It is not based on what we do. In fact, the Apostle Paul quotes from Malachi in Romans 9, verse 13, a verse that is very troublesome to a lot of people, and some people in our Southern Baptist Convention right now are a little irritated about it. Romans 9, 13, the Apostle Paul, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." God said that while they were still in their mother's womb, before either of them had done anything good or bad. Before either of them had done anything good or bad, God chose this one. Well, but yes, but that's because God looked down through time and saw that Esau would be ungodly and despise his birthright. Yes, that was ungodly of him. It really was. As was Jacob's being a liar and a swindler who stole his blessing. Oh, good point. Yeah, they both deserve hell just like you and me. We all deserve hell. God's love, his grace, is undeserved. It is unconditional. Please understand that. God's love is eternal. God's love is unconditional. There is a third thing that we need to recognize this morning. The Father's love is sacrificial. The Father's love is sacrificial. He doesn't just see that we have a need and say, "Oh, golly, that is so sad. They've got that need, don't they? I see the need, but that would be really expensive to address that." No. Take a look at Romans, if you would, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?" We were God's enemies And he chose to love us because his love is unconditional. It's undeserved. We were his enemies, and he sent his son to save us. And so on the one hand, we have this interesting juxtaposition of the verses I read at the beginning from 1 John chapter 2 that says, if you love the world or the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in you. And then this same John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote those verses we love so well in John the Gospel, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. How, having said that, can he then say in 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world, nor anything in the world? Because if you love the world, the love of the Father isn't in you.
Okay, now wait a minute. You're confusing me here. I want to be sure I get this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Do not love the world, or the love of the Father isn't in you. This is a trick question. Because I know that you do not believe there are contradictions in the Bible. That's right. This is not a contradiction, right?
Right, it's not a contradiction.
Okay, all right. God so loved the world, do not love the world, or love of the Father isn't in you. Okay, I give up. What is the answer?
Talking about two different kinds of love. Because he goes on to describe what he's talking about when he talks about loving the world and the things that are in the world. He's talking about the lust of the flesh. He's talking about the pride of life. He's talking about sin, which is what we see in this fallen world. But God doesn't love sin. He doesn't love the wickedness. He chose to love us, even though we were his enemies. And he didn't come to redeem sin. He came to redeem sinners. He came to save people who didn't deserve it, like me. We don't deserve it, but he came to save us. But at what cost? The only way that we could be saved, the only way that we could be saved, was for Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, to take our place. A fairly recent study, among so-called evangelical youth from so-called evangelical churches showed that a significant percentage of them, may have even been half, I don't recall, did not believe in the sinlessness of Jesus. They did not believe that Jesus never sinned, because somehow that didn't get taught to them when we were trying to make sure the youth were having a good time and that they'd keep coming back. Let me tell you something. The only way that we could be saved was through the substitutionary atonement of Jesus, the sinless Son of God, dying on the cross in our place, in accordance with God's eternal plan.
Pastor, I know that's good theology. I personally agree with that. But young people and children and people out there in the world, they don't know what those terms mean.
You're right. That's your fault. Because we're not telling them what those terms mean. And those are essential terms. Those are absolutely vital. If you and I don't cling to that old rugged cross, then don't expect to exchange it someday for a crown. If you and I do not regard as precious, as sacred, as essential, as thrilling, the fundamental doctrines of our faith centered on Jesus Christ, his person and his work, the fact that he is fully God and fully man, the fact that he lived a sinless life having been born of a virgin. The fact that he died on the cross to pay for our sins and he rose from the dead as conqueror over death and he ascended to the Father's right hand and he sent his Spirit to empower us to spread the good news in anticipation of the day that he is coming again to take us to be with him. If we don't hold on to that and we don't share that with others, then in what sense do you call yourself a Christian? Let me tell you something, folks. Our country is in peril, and people don't know the basics. And sadly, tons of people in tons of churches don't know the basics. And often, it's because people in pulpits don't believe the basics. We desperately need a revival. But the Father's love is sacrificial. Jesus died to save us. And so if I'm going to love my children, central to my task of loving them is teaching them to trust in Jesus as the manifestation of the Father's love and glory. That is essential. That's not something I can leave up to the Sunday school teachers or the youth pastor or the preacher on Sunday. That's my job as a dad. I need to be pointing them to Jesus all the time. And I need to be living a life that makes it believable. Now, the fact of the matter is, I fall short. I'm not perfect at that. I work at it. Thank God, I believe my kids will tell you I work at it. My youngest son has just turned 18. This morning he fixed me a fabulous breakfast with muffins and bacon and eggs over easy and a bowl of fruit, mixed fruit, raspberries, blueberries, grapes. God bless you, my son. And had a card there at my spot. And asked last night what time I was getting up. I said 8:30. At 8:30 he knocked on my door. He said, "Dad, your present's downstairs." But let me tell you something. Please don't do this, but if you were to press him on it, he'd probably tell you that I'm not perfect. Because I'm not. I'm not perfect. And the thing is, he is. And I don't want my kids just to think I'm a good dad. I want them to look at me and see me going like this. Look at him. He's perfect. He'll never fail you. I'll fail you. I'll let you down. I don't pretend to be perfect, but I want you to know someone who is. He's perfect, perfect, perfect. And his love for his children is eternal, and it's unconditional, and it's sacrificial. And you can rest in his love because he'll never let you down, and he'll never let you go. Some of you are here today, and you feel like you really haven't done a good job of honoring your father and mother because they tried to teach you the truth and you went in another direction. Well, I have news for you. Jesus came to save sinners. Trust him. Ask him to save you. You say, "Well, I've asked him to save me, but I still feel like I'm such a disaster." Well, okay. Maybe 10 people would rise up and say, "Amen, you are a disaster." But Jesus still came to save sinners. And you don't have to stay the way you are, and your past doesn't have to determine your future. And that's not just positive spin and motivational talk. That's biblical. Your past mistakes and your past sins do not have to determine your future. If you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can not only go to heaven, but you can change and become increasingly like Jesus. And in fact, you will. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now, we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Don't stop there. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as he is pure. If you believe the gospel, you do not continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. The gospel is not you sin, God forgives. That's the end. The gospel is you and I have sinned. God sent His Son to save us. Not just to forgive us, to save us. And that means we're not only forgiven, but we are being changed from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit so that more and more and more we're looking like our dad.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.